Good morning to everybody out there this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We want to welcome you to our radio broadcast today, and we pray, Lord, that we'll be a blessing to you this morning. We pray, too, that you'll get some understanding from the Word of God. This morning, I'm going to be moving into a series where I'm going to deal with Israel, the Palestinians, and the church. There's a lot of misunderstanding in professing Christianity about the role that Israel plays and what the church plays in the plan of God for the ages. I want to open us up with a word of prayer here this morning. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes and our ears, Lord, to receive that which you'd have us to receive. I pray, too, Lord, that you'd bless anybody out there that's listening today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if anybody that's not saved would be listening to the broadcast, I pray, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, Lord. We want to thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that you'd bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, at the outset, I want to state that there never has been a more perilous time in American history. America as a nation is spiritually blind and in bondage to the devil. We rejected the God of the Bible for a God of our own choosing. Because we have rejected God, God has sent a strong delusion that we would believe the lies of our ungodly and unsaved political, judicial, and religious leaders. We're living in a time when America's God-hating political and religious leaders have become evil men and seducers that are deceiving and being deceived. And what a time it is. There seems to be no end to the wickedness that pervades our land today. It waxes worse and worse every day. As a nation, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord God. What we should be rolling forth from the mouth of Christians today and from our hearts, from our lips, is the prayer that Daniel the prophet offered out of Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 through 10. If you were, you can this morning, I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 and 10, and listen to this prayer of this great man of God, this great prophet of God. We'll start in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 9. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and by his servants the prophets. If that's not a description that describes America today, I don't know what is. We're at a point in our history where we can look back much as the nation of Israel did. We have been blessed even above what the nation of Israel has been blessed. And yet we've taken everything that God has given us and put it back in his face and said, we don't want it. We have exceeded by far, I believe, the wickedness of the nation of Israel. We have let the strength of this world become our shame and our confusion. Our political leaders are proclaiming peace and safety when all the while their wicked and ungodly actions are bringing sudden destruction upon us. We are living in a time when our entire national political discourse has become the perverse disputings of men and women of corrupt and reprobate minds. That's where we are, folks. We're in a world of trouble. It is a discourse that we're conducting that is destitute of any truth of the Word of God. Our judicial system is corrupt to its wicked and ungodly core. The guiding light of our judicial system is the darkness of Satan. The power behind our judicial system is the heartbeat of Satan. If you don't believe it, go and look at the Supreme Court decisions. We are in a world of trouble in this country. Our unsaved and ungodly religious leaders are teaching and preaching doctrines of devils and damnable heresies that are turning lost sinners into flaming fodder for the fires of hell. And that's from our pulpits. Hell hath much enlarged herself with the sizzling bodies of lost sinners that have been deceived by Satan's sinister ministers. And what they've done is they've deceived these folks into thinking that they're lost. I mean, that they're saved and on their way to hell because they prayed some sinner's prayer. And that's just not the case of it. Most of the time when I hear somebody try to lead somebody in a sinner's prayer, I cringe. Because most of the time there is no evidence of Holy Ghost conviction there. There is no response to the Word of God. And that troubles me. And I believe that there's a lot of demonic activity involved when you try to start witnessing to people to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's going to interfere in and get them to take as a substitute that which would be real salvation. Now, a salvation that shows forth no repentance is a salvation that inhabits the fiery pits of hell and the lake of fire. If there's no repentance involved in it, it's not real. You cannot get saved and continue to do the devil's bidding. You cannot claim salvation and continue to act like the devil himself. As a country, we cannot continue to do the bidding of the devil and expect God to bless us. Has God not blessed us above all the nations of the earth? I would have to say yes, even above the nation of Israel. Now, it is the devil's bidding when 47% of Americans are on some form of welfare and most of them will not work. The Bible says that a man who will not work should not eat. It is the devil's bidding when we call murder pro-choice. We've murdered 56 million babies since the pro-baby murder in Supreme Court decision in 1973 that we know today as Roe versus Wade. God is not pro-choice. God calls abortion the shedding of innocent blood and an abomination. The only thing that is pro-choice in the matter is that it is your choice to murder an innocent baby. It's not God's choice. And I'll guarantee you, if the baby had a choice in the matter, he would not choose death. It is also the devil's bidding to call sodomy an alternate lifestyle and a constitutional right. God calls sodomy an abomination that leads to a reprobate mind that ends up in hell. That's right. That's the end of the sodomite lifestyle. God calls sodomy an abomination once again. God calls lesbians, homosexuals, and child molesters sodomites. That's what the Word of God calls them. It is unnatural, wicked, destructive, and ungodly for men to have sex with men, for women to have sex with women, and for adults to have sex with children. You are not born into sodomy. Sodomy is not a psychological or psychiatric problem. Sodomy is a sin that is the product of a perverse and reprobate mind whose desires are driven by Satan. That's right. It's wicked is what it is. Right. Excuse me. Let me say this about the sodomites. All of the sodomites are demoniacs is what they are. They're possessed of the devil. The actions that they accomplish are of the devil. Now, it is also the devil's bidding when we have a national epidemic of drug abuse. And we try to distinguish a lot of time between drug and alcohol. There's no difference between them. It's still a drug, no matter what, how it's used. And what we have is we have a situation in America today where we call drug abuse therapy, and God calls it sorcery, because it blinds the men and women of this nation to a presentation of the gospel. It is the devil's bidding when we take prayer out of our schools, when God says that men ought to always pray. In other words, the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Now, when you live in a nation as we do, where a national political party has to argue about whether or not to include references to God, Israel, and Jerusalem in their official party platform, then you are in trouble. We are in very serious trouble. I don't know how many of you have gone and read the Democratic National platform, but it is ungodly. And if you take a look at it, their platform supports same-sex marriages, and that's not according to the Bible. We have a president that is in favor of murdering babies through abortion, that is in favor of sodomite marriages, that is pro-Muslim, that is anti-Jewish, that is anti-Israel, that is pro-socialist and humanist, that is pro-communist, and that is anti-Christian. And when you have a man like that in the White House, then what you have is a godless reprobate in the White House. A man that advocates those things, he's godless. In the upcoming presidential election, if you vote for Barack Hussein Obama, you're voting to put a devil back in the White House that is possessed of the spirit of Antichrist. He's possessed of it. He hates the Jew. He's wicked. He's also hell-bent on the destruction of America. The Obama administration is the most godless group of reprobates to ever occupy the White House. And I'll take things a step further. If you vote for anyone, whether they be a Democrat or a Republican, that is in favor of any of the godless policies I've just mentioned, then you have sinned against God and you need to repent. You have done wickedly and participated in an abomination before God when you go in and vote the party, when you go in and vote your pocketbook, you have sinned against God. It's time that Christians started casting a vote for God rather than voting for devils. I've said all of what I've just said to come to this point. This godless bunch of pagans has provoked God to bring judgment upon America because of our treatment of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in the book of Titus, very first chapter, that unto the pure all things are pure, but unto him that has a defiled mind, nothing is pure. American leaders have no concept of how we ought to treat the nation of Israel according to the Word of God. The Obama administration has taken the godless compromise and appeasement of the Bush administration to the next level. I used to cringe when George W. Bush would say that Islam was a religion of peace, and the little G God of the Muslims was the same as the God of the Bible. How many times did we hear that while George W. Bush was president? And I don't get me wrong, I like George W. Bush. I thought he was a good man. But I also thought he was a compromiser. Politically correct statements such as George Bush would make, they're always ungodly. They're ungodly. Many times when I would hear Bush and the members of his administration make that statement that Islam was a religion of peace and that the God of Islam was the same as the God of the Bible, I wanted to scream at them, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." The God of the Muslims is nothing more than another presentation of the Old Testament Baal. The God of the Muslims is Satan, and Muhammad is Satan's prophet. The Obama administration has gone from compromise and appeasement of the Bush administration to the outright promotion of the Islamic religion and the Islamic governments. That's what they've gone from. A little bit later on in this series, I'm going to present to you some information by a gentleman named Frank Gaffney. Now, Frank Gaffney was a member of the Reagan administration and a member, was also an assistant secretary of defense for security matters. He conducted a series, and it's available on the internet. It's a 10-part series that deals with the actions of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States of America, the agenda that they are promoting. I would encourage you to go and look at that. A little bit later on, I'll give you that address. It's I believe it's www.muslimbrotherhoodinamerica.com, and you can go and look up that and look at that video series. But I'm going to warn you, you better be willing to put some time into it. And by the way, it's not a presentation that he gives that is about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. It's about what the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to do to the United States of America. Like I said, the Obama administration has gone from compromise and appeasement of the Bush administration to outright promotion of the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of America, and the enemies of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. President Obama has used American taxpayers' money to overthrow pro-American Arab dictators and replace them with God-hating Islamic dictatorships who are hell-bent on the murder of Jews and Christians and the destruction of Israel and America. We're cutting our own throat. It's so sad. We've gone back into the bondages where we're at. We have no spiritual discernment about what direction this country needs to take. It's high time that Christians and Americans awoke out of their sleep. The problem in the Middle East is not about geography, stupid. It has nothing to do with geography. Absolutely none. It is not about justice for a non-existent Palestinian people. They never existed as a Palestinian people until they were invented in the mind of Yasser Arafat, who, by the way, was a product of the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt. Yasser Arafat was not a Palestinian. He was an Egyptian, is who he was. And a wicked man, murdered his first individual, I believe, at the age of 16. So he started out early. Now, if you, the situation in the Middle East is about the destruction of the nation of Israel and the genocide of the Jewish people. If you don't believe it, listen to that Muslim Antichrist, Ahmadinejad, who constantly spews forth filth and violence about the destruction of the nation of Israel. And by the way, he hates America also. The Muslims are the most vile, violent, wicked, and ungodly bunch of pagans to ever come slithering forth out of the pits of hell. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the doctrine, the religion that Satan has pushed. They're the most vile group that has ever come forth slithering from the pits of hell. They have literally murdered more people even than the Roman Catholic Church has down through the years. Over, by the way, 270-something million people that the Islamic religion, the religion of peace, has murdered. Even the Jesuit devils of the Roman Catholic Church cannot compare to them for wickedness. And we know what the Jesuits were responsible for. We know that they egged on the Inquisition and the persecution of Bible-believing Christians. Now, it's time that Bible-believing Christians stand up and take a stand against Islam. We cannot fight Islam with the carnal arm of the power of the American military. It's carnal. What does the Bible say about it? For the weapons of our warfare must not be carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of Satan's Islamic strongholds. He's the only one that we can depend upon to do this. We're up against an enemy like we've never been against before, even more dangerous than what the Communist Party was. The lie of the devil is that our battle is with radical Islam. That's a lie. Islam is radical. They're radical to the core. Radical Islam, and don't you listen to this and think about it. Radical Islam is the most redundant political term ever coined on the face of this earth. It's redundant. To be a Muslim is to be radical, period, in a sentence. And if you don't believe that, just sit down and take the Quran out and the Ahadith, which is a commentary on the Quran, and read through it. And you'll see there that this whole concept that Islam, when they practice this violence and stuff, that they're practicing radical Islam, you'll find out that it's a farce. Violence through jihad is the major tenet and pillar of Islam. Islam is not peace. Listen to what God says. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Islam is a warmongering, is warmongering and violence at its best, is what it is. Now, it is the devil's bidding when we will not stand against those that seek the death of Jews and the destruction of the nation of Israel, when God says he will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. For America to refuse to stand for the Jew and Israel is nothing short of national suicide. America should use every resource available to her to fight Islam. Islam is another false way. Psalm chapter 119, verses 104 and 128 say this: through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now verse 128 says this: therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And Islam is a false way that leads in to the pits of hell. Now, our battle cry to our political and religious leaders should be that of Jehu over in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2, where he said this: shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Now I'm advocating very, very strongly that we ought to stand up to Islam, and I can already hear the devil screaming religious discrimination. Unless, of course, it's a genuine discrimination against Jews and Christians, he could care less about it. Islam is not a purely religious organization. You cannot grant freedom to an organization whose stated objective is to overthrow your government and take every religious freedom you have. Islam is much more a political religious system than anything else. The Muslims should be treated no different than what the communists were when they were trying to overthrow our government. Let me ask you a question. If you want to give religious liberty to Islam when they seek to overthrow your government and everything that you believe in, would you also let your child spend some time with a child molester? That's how serious this thing is. You're asking for a load of trouble when you get up and advocate for religious freedom, because they seek the destruction of this country and any religious freedom that we might have. In fact, the Muslims are much more dangerous than the communists ever thought about being in the United States. When the communists were here, we fought a battle with them for years and years. And because of that, we should have learned some things out of that, but obviously we haven't learned the lessons that we should have learned out of it. The United States should outlaw Sharia law and persecute anyone who attempts to enforce its provisions through subversion and sedition against the people of the United States. I want to say this too, by the way, that the American taxpayer should not be used to support a God-hating Muslim's whoremongering harem, as it's being done in the nation of Great Britain. And that's what's coming here. They'll get over here and they'll get on the welfare system with their multiple wives, and then our taxpayers will end up having to pay for them. That very thing is happening in Great Britain today. And because they're not getting it, They're creating hate and discontent, demonstrations and violence over there because they think they ought to be allowed to sit around and not work and be supported by the government. Just another indication of how rotten to the core Western societies are today. Back to the United States now. Our foreign policy is the product of corrupt and reprobate minds that have rejected the counsel of the Word of God concerning the Jew and the nation of Israel. The American State Department is rotten to the core with anti-Israelism and pro-Islamic Palestinianism. In what is perhaps one of the biggest blunders in American history, President Barack Obama invited the Muslim Brotherhood into the White House. Can you picture that? Inviting your enemy in to your house of government the way Barack Obama has done. He invited them in there for dialogue. What do we need to be dialoguing with the enemies of our country, and most of all, the enemies of God, the enemies of Christianity, the enemies of the Jewish people? Why do we need to be dialoguing with them? The Muslim Brotherhood that he met with has birthed such terrorist organizations as Al-Qaeda, Hamas, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or otherwise known as the PLO, Fatah, and many other terrorist organizations. Not only has Obama invited the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, but he's done everything he could to distance and alienate himself from the nation of Israel and their Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Obama has snubbed no other leader like he has Netanyahu. What Obama done to Netanyahu was an insult to the dignity of the office of the President of the United States, for him to treat the leader of the nation of Israel like that. It shows you how wicked and ungodly his heart is. Obama has made it plain that he will do anything to Israel to gain favor with his Muslim brothers. If you do not believe the Muslim Brotherhood is very dangerous, you ought to view a 10-part video series that has been posted on the internet by Frank Gaffney. I gave you that information just a few minutes ago. I have watched all but the last few minutes of that 10-part series. And the video is located once again at HTTP, the Muslim Brotherhood in America.com. And I want to remind you again that Frank Gaffney has served as the Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Reagan. And I'm going to get in, next time we meet, I'm going to get into some of the conclusions that Mr. Gaffney drew upon the actions of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. But I want to close out this morning by reminding you of the position that God takes upon the nation of Israel. Now the Lord, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I want to thank you again for joining us this morning with our radio broadcast from Hilltop Baptist Church. I pray the Lord will richly bless you. Thank you again.